The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're ready to roll. Why? Because football season proper is over with. That means it's Damaschek season, because that's when we focus on the game of life, not just the game of football. Well, to be fair, we kind of talk about the game of life in autumn as well, but now we really turn it up and focus on all things. Maybe we'll even get into some NBA, because of the person seated to my immediate left here is a wonk on that. Well, he's knowledgeable on just about everything. He is the 21st century Renaissance statement. Man. Well, listen, what is, and you'll bite your tongue until I finish. First of all, I want you to go back. Nay, I demand you go back and listen to the conversation that I had with Reggie Wayne earlier this week, newest member of the Colts Ring of Honor. Just great stuff. I mean, really dynamite, really funny stuff. But we go through a couple of the most memorable plays of his career. Obviously, first-person account adds great detail to some plays that you already are familiar with, even more so after you listen to 87 talk about him. And then his draft day experience. This is one of the greatest things we've stumbled into doing, is taking out the list of guys drafted at his position before him and having him go through all those things. We've done it with Maurice Jones-Drew, Malcolm Jenkins, now Reggie.
You made MJD cry.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's just the best.
Literally,
Reggie Wayne stuff is the best.
Cried.
His Maurice's is maybe. Oh, I don't know which one's more compelling. They're both pretty good. But what's great about Reggie Wayne's account of the 2001 draft? He's drafted at the back end of '01 in the first round. Five wide receivers come off the before. But he said before we started, well, I could name them. I know who they all are, where they went. I could tell you what position, what number they went. These things, he's in the Ring of Honor. Presumably, he's going to get a gold jacket at some point.
Seems to be the best fuel.
Yeah, it is. But he just, I mean, basically just announced, yeah, when that happened, I put a chip on my shoulder. Then I knew I had to get, what did he go, 31? He said, I knew those other 30 teams, I had to make them pay.
And
they,
he did.
They had to pay for the rest
he
of
He went 30.
30. So he's like the 29 other teams. All right. Well, you hear as well. Oh, one more thing. This guy.
I think it was, by the way, I think it was when you brought up Lendale White. That's when Maurice actually started crying. Legitimately started crying. He was so upset at the lack of work ethic from Lendale White through the whole process.
Check, that one hurt my feelings.
Exactly. He got that upset. A USC guy. I mean, hey, look, arguably the greatest zone blocking scheme runner in college football history. But at the same time, as Maurice says, the man did nothing. I watched him go through the draft process. He did nothing. Sorry, I have sidetracked this all.
So it was a weight gain issue? Is that what stopped him? Because I did think he, and actually he did have one good NFL season, at least in terms of getting into the end zone. Did
with the Titans, yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, another guy from the Titans past that I want to kibitz about, we'll get into him and his current comp out there in the 2018 draft. But another thing I wanted to mention too, Adam Carolla and I go on Carolla Show, AdamCarollaShow.com. Track that one down, download it on iTunes, all that. I'm on there every day in a segment we call Good Sports. We do about 10 minutes. We do all this week we did Winter Olympics talk pretty much, or that was the main focus. And it will surprise no one who knows Adam Carolla that he was hysterical about a couple of things. Now, one of his our mutual friend, Adam Carolla, is the mutual friend of Adam Carolla and mine is seated to my immediate left here. He is one half of the greatest radio show in all of the land. Petros and Money, available on AM 570 if you're in Los Angeles. Otherwise, track it down on iHeartRadio. He's one half of the Game Theory and Money podcast here at NFL Media. Track that down on
iTunes. That's my favorite podcast. It's my favorite.
It's positively brilliant. It's my favorite. The insights.
My Hank has turned into Julia Child.
Henry, your mates, your colleagues are quite talented. Sam, then again, there's that pot-bellied buffoon.
One quarter stick butter.
Why are you on his program all the time? He's rubbish.
Some old spice.
Damaschek, I believe his name is. Damaschek. I don't care for his way. Can't you visit with Mad Money Smith and Cynthia Freeland more? more regularly.
All right, here he is.
It is my favorite podcast, Mum.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, now he is.
All right, here he is. Yes. Matt Money Smith. What's the poop, fella?
I don't know if I've ever told this story on this, and I'll keep it brief, on this particular show. I believe you and I have talked about it before, but you mentioned our mutual friend Adam Carolla. I always, because of the extreme success that he has experienced and something that I knew way back when was coming his way, I was around Adam when he first got on the radio. We both worked at the same place, K-Rock, where Jimmy Kimmel was. Jimmy brought him in to be a bit part.
Talk about a great story.
On the Kevin and Bean.
The story of Carolla's...
Yes, the boxing coach, yeah. And Jimmy's... anyway, I don't want to get too deep into that, but I'll just give you my personal experience with Adam. I can still remember Adam was working as a carpenter and doing the comedy and writing and trying to break in, and he had... I'm going to say it was probably about a 1985, and you know how deep, and anybody that knows Ace knows how much he loves cars, and he is a car collector, and I mean, he's got millions of dollars worth of cars now, but his vehicle, his commuter vehicle that he drove every single day was an 84 Supra that the I think 84, 85-ish Toyota Supra, right? So it's like, yeah, I don't have money to buy one of these nice sports cars, but hey, I still like sports cars, so I'm going to drive this Supra around even though I'm a carpenter and my tools are in the back. The hydraulics were broke on the hatch, so when he lifted the back gate up, he had to slam a 2x4 underneath the window in order to hold it up. And I remember he and I were sitting kind of in the little hole of the back of that hatchback, sucking on some heaters, lamenting the lack of success that we were experiencing while Kevin and Bean were making millions. Yet here you are, Ace. Doing all the comedy with Burcham, writing all this great stuff, and we're sitting in the back of a busted-up Toyota Supra smoking discount cigarettes because we can't afford Marlboro Lights.
A Supra, yeah. Ironically named for the quality of car. All right.
There it is.
One thing we did, Kibitz, about money that, I hope everybody will get a kick out of. You should go back, like I say, and dig it up. Oh, I brought back Creep of the Week, actually, on Friday's show, so make sure you check that out. It is Winter Olympics. Focused, but he brought up not surprisingly something that I've looked at many times but never considered it from this angle is fencing. He's has there ever been an event that has so much promise that is so disappointing for what it should be versus what it is?
Duel.
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely true that those guys, when you watch the fencing, first of all, you can't even tell who gets it. You go, oh, two guys are gonna sword fight, I'm in, but then it's those skinny ones, and
they're whacking each other on the sides.
The little sensor thing, and oh, did he get a point? Like you hear boop, and wait, who even got that one? And why? And then we stumbled into why do they all have to wear that outfit? There's no obligation. You play golf, you dress how you want. I mean, there's a uniform, but why is everybody, even foes, why are the foes in the same uniform? If you wrestle, you wear your nation's colors. So then this led to a banner idea, which is each nation should within the parameters of their cultural history be required to dress in one of those fashions. Ooh. And use that type of sword. So like
So are we, is Team USA in like Revolutionary Guard back when we had like a saber?
Yes, with the tall black boots up over your knees.
So you roll out looking like William Prescott and you're out there with your long, so I got you. Okay.
Yes.
I did that for you, Eddie. That's your Boston reference.
That
right
would
there.
Be a good one. Japan would be, you'd have a ninja. I
was thinking you're in like a gi, Komodo, right? Or something like that.
What was the Tom Cruise movie? Last
Samurai.
Samurai. Yeah. So, yeah, not a ninja, like a samurai.
Ooh, what if you forced him to wear
how great is this idea?
A sumo outfit.
That's
what we've decided you have to wear.
Then we were talking about, are you allowed to, and we decided
the UK Buckingham Palace.
That's
gotta wear one of those giant, I love this idea.
How fun. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's all these curmudgeons that have co-opted fencing, which should be grand. Now we're back in action. Now we're cooking with gas. Everybody goes out there. Who's not tuning in? And by the way, all of a sudden, Mongolia, very relevant in the summer games when they come out with those giant, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name.
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan, right. Genghis Khan with that giant bent kind of cutlass thing that he has. You know, that one of those.
Do they get to ride the horse? Because, you know, that's what they
were.
No,
you don't get a horse. Now you're being silly.
Why not? That's what they were. That's what they fought on, right? Get that cutlass and just start rolling through people, lopping heads off.
Is that what they would do? They would just ride through, huh?
They were just so far advanced for their time. And, you know, the only reason we're not all well, I mean, we are to some degree all descendants of Genghis or some of the super heady folks like to call him Genghis Khan. But the only reason why is, you know, he
died. Is that
true? Yeah, he died. And his oldest son, I think, ended up dying. And it was like the second son ended up being a real boozer. And they had found a path. They had found a path to get into Western Europe. And they were getting ready to conquer Western Europe. And the boozer just ended up, you know.
He went on a twister. He blacked out.
And that was it. He dies. And then they're like, so there's no one to lead us into down that little trail there into Western. All right, well, let's just turn around and go back home. And that was it.
What happened? How did I wind up here in Pamplona?
Right?
Who are these bulls?
My old man never believed in glaw, 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 glaw. Never loved me. The glaw, glaw.
I don't know if this is the booze talking.
I like that idea for the
you,
fencing.
You got a butt that won't quit. Yeah, I said, you better say it. And then I took a swing at him.
The world's history could have been quite different.
Certainly.
Wouldn't that be fun, though? I love this idea. See, these are the good ideas that you miss if you aren't listening to Good Sports on Adam Carolla Show.
Now, do the Italians wear, like, tight white pants and, like, a shirt that's unbuttoned to their navel? So, are we ready to do the fencing, huh?
Ooh, maybe. Yeah, right? I didn't think about that. Maybe we could get, like, switch knives, like switch blades.
And,
like, the Michael Jackson Beat It video.
The Austrians in Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is going to be
great.
You're welcome in advance, summer games, because
we've
just given you solid gold there. All right, let's talk about some pro football here, shall we? What do you want to kibitz about here, Matt Money Smith? There are some things in the news. Oh, well, one thing before we do pro football, Spaghetti's Rundowns are emerging as a perennial hit here, or each show there's something to look forward to. On this one, I recently shot last week. I went in. I don't think you know Nick Santora, but he's the showrunner of a show called Scorpion. You know,
based on that super that brilliant guy that says I can lop your head off and replace it with another head kind of thing.
This Santora guy is himself a genius with sitting down and just making pages like nobody's business, and has created a bunch of shows. Anywho, was kind enough to call me up and say, hey, could be on Scorpion and be a PA announcer for us for this softball game.
Network TV.
That's right. Network spot. Yeah, I did a scene with Catherine McPhee. You know Catherine McPhee?
Listen, who didn't have the McPhever when she was on American Idol, huh?
I mean, was I nervous? Was I intimidated when I walked into the room and there's Catherine McPhee? Sure I was.
Yes,
but you know
what?
Kat created a space.
Kat says double D.
Kat said, "You know what? You know what I'm about. I'm about taking chances. You know, and I know I don't want to lose you money because I know you're not an actor. But I mean, that's why I got into the
craft.
Please
lose me.
That's why I got into it. You know, is somebody who's a risk taker, a gambler. She was fearless out there. You know, and that inspired me to take chances as well. She gave me a playground, and I ran with it. And I just hope you enjoy the results. March 26th, CBS, Scorpion.
You make an appearance on camera?
On camera, fella. I couldn't believe it. I got there. I had like 10 or 12 lines. It was this is way
10 or 12 lines.
This
network television on camera.
You have given me way too much of your confidence here, and I will make you pay for it.
How about this?
I think Broadcasting, whatever. What's CBS stand for?
Columbia Broadcast System. Yeah, I believe.
I think they are going to make you pay with I don't know what.
March 26th.
March 26th.
Appointment based viewing.
But Spaghetti has written it down. First of all, he's created football topics the top, and then halfway down the page, grab ass topic.
Grabbing of the ass. And I love grabbing of the ass.
And the first item on there, Sheck on Scorpions.
I saw that, and I was like,
Scorpions.
Is there an angle on Scorpions that I have missed over my many years living in an irrigated desert known as Southern California?
Hey, Morgan Freeman, you can sit this one out. We got Damashek to do the voiceover on the fascinating world of Scorpions. Where? But actually, Eddie Spaghetti has put together. I hate to go by and just focus on football stuff. We have plenty of time to talk about football. Money, where do you come down on this issue? You went to Pepperdine on the right on the edge of the continent. You know, I swoon over it each
time. See the ocean from my freshman dorm room window.
It's crazy.
It was.
Every time.
That's why I went there.
People who live in LA, I don't care if you jump in the sea. That's your business. That's your mistake as well because, of course, when you jump into the – you don't jump into the Pacific?
Of course I do.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, I thought you were saying why would you?
No.
That it's
– No, I've
– That it's a realm that belongs to those with gills that can breathe under the water, and we do not belong in there. I love the ocean.
Oh,
love
boy.
It.
I mean, I love the Atlantic too. You know, I grew up each summer I would pay a visit out to – Ocean City, Maryland, and Rehoboth Beach, and jump into that sea and frolicked, but it's nothing like the Pacific. The Pacific is colder, but it has magical medicinal properties because for some reason, when you get into it, it's bitterly cold for 9 seconds, and then
you warm up. You're good.
Well, I don't know. Or the body of water accommodates your body temperature, and somehow they blend, and you can no longer feel the sea other than its silky texture along every inch of your flesh. And I love to frolic in the waves and do all that, but it's not just – you don't just go in there for fun's sake. You go in there to take your bath, and I don't mean to wash off just the day soils. I mean to wash off all of society's ills. You know, I come out of the Pacific Ocean baptized. You know, I'm
cleansing of the soul.
I'm new when I come out. I'm ready to go.
Sea toxing, that's the term.
Sea toxing?
Yeah,
I've never heard that one.
What the
before.
Kids call it. My first week at Pepperdine, I met two. I mean, straight out of Central Casting, Enoch and Ethan Harris from San Clemente, California. And this is
what is a name?
I know, right?
What is that?
19. Well, I mean, obviously, their parents. They grew up in San Clemente. They grew up basically in the ocean surfing. So I meet them, and they're like, "Oh, you're from Chicago? You want to learn how to surf? We'll take you out with us. We go every day." And I'm like, "This is going to be great." So we get to our first class, and Enoch, and this is 1991, is sitting in the back of the class with a Walkman on. And for the kids listening that don't know what a Walkman is. It's got a radio and a cassette player attached to it, and he's just in the very back of, I think it was political science class I had with him, and all of a sudden I just feel this tap on my shoulder, and I'm like, hey, he's like, psst, let's go. Like, what do you mean let's go? It's in the middle of the class. I mean, it's my first week of class. I'm like, psst, let's go. All right, so I walk out, and I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, I had the surf report on. Well, I'll do it in his voice. Dude, I had the surf report on, man. It is epic. We're going to Zuma right now. And I was like, we're going to Zuma right now. So we go to the dorm. We grab two boards. We go to PCH, hitchhike, catch a ride in the back of a pickup, and we go to Zuma Beach. And
no
bang,
way.
One week into my college life coming from the Midwest.
Chicago Southside Zone, Matt Money Smith
freaking,
going surfing with
Rick Kane in North Shore, learning how to surf with a dude from San Clemente.
That's what it is. I mean, your
yes.
Point Break.
Yes.
You're heading out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Here I am. Johnny, Utah.
Let's go. I'm catching the waves. It was funny, and that was him every day in class. Every single day, he would sit with a Walkman. Listen, I guess they would do like quarterly, every quarter hour surf reports on whatever station he would listen to. And if the waves were great,
you're a smart man, as I've said, because you seem like you're capable of, at least for a dummy like me, you seem like you can hold a conversation on almost any subject that is floated to you.
Not true.
Well, you can. You can fake it at least. Yeah, like I say,
that's
you
more
can
like
dupe
it.
At minimum me. Now, where do you come down on this issue as we jump into school talk, to the need for, 4 years of university? I contend that you should live like Enoch does. Once you get there, you got to get the degree. You can't flunk out. But I went to roughly 40% of my classes over my 4 years, and I'm ashamed of it. I don't think that's something to be proud of. I'm embarrassed that my parents, they covered me too. It's not like I was shelling out. I probably would have treated it differently. But I contend, Money, unless you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or one of a very small group of professions, you could just say you went to anywhere. Nobody's ever
politician,
checked. Right? Does anybody ever check on that stuff?
I don't think I ever had to present my degree, but then
your
again,
GPA?
I went into a line of work where
Who
my
cares?
Degree was never requested.
No one has ever, I'm telling you, I've been out of college for quite some time now. No one has ever said, hey, what was your GPA? No employer ever asked me that. I need to see your transcript. What? For what? Nobody's ever once done that. That's my pro tip to all the kids out there.
blow off college.
Do, do.
The more you know. Know. Blow off school. Nobody cares. I think we are in a line of work that is distinctly different.
I disagree.
Really, you think if you're, I mean, if you're just getting into that, just think of the business world.
I said, I
mean,
if you want to go to, if you want to be a
so
yeah,
what,
business.
So what does this apply
what
to?
Bank?
Like, what, you line, think of, if you what wanna, line of work are we getting people into? Where
you
want to
be a
matter?
Bank teller? You think they're at, what was your GPA? Like?
Well, no.
Can I get confirmation on that?
I think if you want to, you know, if the bank is going to entrust you to invest all of that money into commercial real estate or whatever financial vehicles.
I don't know.
You don't think they're checking?
I don't know. I think you could claim it. I think you could claim
it. I have the same experience you had. Nobody has ever asked me, to the point where, you know, I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it. So I got 2 degrees. I ended up getting 2 degrees in 4 years. And, like, I would offer that up.
Oh, you know who else did? Dave
in these
Damashek.
Interviews. See? So I would, like, be like, so what did you go to school for? Well, you know, I got 2 degrees. Okay, where are you living now? I'm like, where am I living now? You don't want to know what my degrees are in or how hard it was for me to carry at least 18 units every semester? I did it in 4 years. Yeah, I had one extra summer semester. No, never a follow-up. Never even asked me what my 2 degrees were in. Just, okay, next. So what's your commute like? Like, do you get frustrated?
What's your greatest weakness?
Right. I'm like, what the hell? I spent however much money it was, because I ended up paying for a lot of my own education.
Learn from money. He was a sucker when he wasn't out on the waves skipping class with Enoch. Now, the big question is this, though, that Spaghetti asserted. He didn't even ask. He just announced this to the world on Twitter, and I know you're a fan of his Twitter account there, Matt Money Smith. But Spaghetti, you contend that where the best place to go to college is in the country is in Boston.
I do. I think it's the best college town.
One of the 10 biggest cities at minimum in
I don't think Boston's – I mean, I'm a person who's lived in New York and L.A. Boston's pretty walkable. You could do Boston.
Okay.
Well, and, you know, Boston, to what he's speaking, I ended up going to Pepperdine instead of Amherst. So I visited the campus there, and it's a college town. I mean, you've got, what, 8, I think, colleges that
– BU, BC, Harvard, MIT, Emerson. There's, like, Simmons.
Smith,
smaller.
Amherst.
Amherst is a little bit out. Northeastern.
UMass.
Yeah.
UMass Amherst is right there.
Tufts is close. There's UMass Dorchester. Like, there's a bunch of smaller schools. Emmanuel.
Yeah, when you're in, like, Cambridge and you're over there walking, it just feels like a college. So I don't know. Like, going to – I mean, you're in Boston, but it's almost kind of like Pepperdine, where I'm in Malibu, but I can drive into L.A. It's a half hour away. Now, Boston's a lot closer, but
that's BU's campus, too. Well, what do you consider a campus? It stretches. It goes, like, north-south. It goes in a long, long strip. So, like, one end of our campus is, like, south, like, past Fenway. And then it goes all the way up until, like, Austin, Brighton, which is, like, the next town up because it's a long strip.
So you're saying Boston proper.
BU, well, be where BU is, yes.
The so, like, city.
Now the way you describe it makes it sound a little bit better. To me, I've said to many people over the years, go to – remember when the Super Bowl was in New York City? Of course you do. It was it's not denigrating NYC in any way to say that it didn't feel like over the course of the week like that there was any special event going on there because of
– It's New York.
The size of Manhattan. You didn't feel like that the city didn't stop to acknowledge the Super Bowl. It was just another event.
You're kind of in their way.
Kind of. Whereas in Indianapolis and even New Orleans in downtown and Minneapolis, you know, the city is so excited about the event. And that's the 4 years of college. I went to Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. It's not a minuscule place. It has like a population of 60,000. But the entire town basically revolves around the school and the student body. And that's the greatest. It creates this weird utopia where everywhere you go, and I mean, I guess you could spin that as makes you makes you narcissistic. But anyway, this you know, the big time sports, the Big Ten football, even though the Hoosiers were dreadful, it didn't matter. You get to go tailgate and you see Ohio State and Michigan could roll through, and then basketball is so grand and everything. And like I say, all the bars, everything is just there for the student body. And like I say, it's just a singular experience. You can spend the next 5 decades in a big, exciting metropolis if that's your pleasure. Move to Chicago as I did, or go to Boston or New York or L.A. then. But to me, I say go live in a small town for 4 years that's just this idealized version of life in your youth. Money, how say you?
Tough. It's a tough one because, you know, I called college football for, I think, 4 years, and I would go on these campuses that I had never visited before, mostly, you know, especially when I'd get into the SEC and you're in Oxford or you're in Tuscaloosa or you're in, you know, wherever I was going. And it felt special. It was really cool to get on campus. And obviously
it's the best,
but it's college football Saturday. It's the most important day of the week. It's in the SEC. at the same time, you know, now that I have children that are almost of college age, my oldest daughter's a junior, a lot of our friends have kids in college, and talking to them when they come home.
You must be old. I am old. And I didn't know you had kids.
When they come home, like, they're just, it's so boring. You know, it's such a quiet town, and it gets so old after. So I almost wonder if you're romanticizing what you remember.
No.
About, you don't think so?
No, I used to go on like that.
Because we used to go into L.A. a lot. We would roll into Westwood and do the UCLA bar specials, you know, Wednesday night at Stratton's, Thursday night at Moose. Like, we would do those things. And we I went to a ton of concerts when I was in college. I mean, we would get the L.A. Reader and go through, oh, we're going to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Roxy, and that was really, and that doesn't happen if you're in a small town. So I think there's, you know, what do you do with your time? I ended up being an intern at K-Rock for Kevin and Bean, where I met Jimmy Kimmel and that. So that effort was for, now I'm being so anecdotal about this. Generally speaking, I think the situation I was in, or the situation Eddie was in, having at least the ability to get into a city is important. And you weren't that far from Indy. Not that Indy's some city.
I'm more 50-ish or so minutes. Yeah, I saw shows up in Indianapolis.
That's what I mean. I think you got to have that. There is something about you and your buddies going, hey, let's all get in a car, and we're going to Phil. For us,
yeah, that's
we're going
fun
to Tijuana.
Road.
Let's go.
I'm
all
telling
right,
you,
let's go.
I don't know. As it is, I mean, the ability in the Midwest to jump in a car and experience, first of all, the four seasons, that's a great experience. Obviously, if you're a SoCal person or a Southern person, it's a great thing to live in that environment. But that Big Ten, yeah, you can drive to East Lansing. You want to go see a college football game? Want to take a road trip? Hey, road trips are, I would put a Saturday tailgate among my like five best activities. I think I would list that. I've never been to an SEC game or
they're unbelievable. They are
I feel like they'd be more serious and therefore not as much fun. I think the Big Ten, like Bloomington, Indiana, threads the needle because you're out in these rolling hills and the rainbow of autumn colors surrounds you, and just next door, you're not in a paved parking lot or anything. You're in literally little streams next to you, and you're standing on these rolling green hills, and the cars are parked all around them, and you can just walk into the stadium, 200 yards away at any point and go watch the Wolverines whip up on the Hoosiers. But instead, you just decide to stay out there and keep on grilling and it's
playing your cornhole, grilling, drinking your beers.
I think that's the key. I think maybe that's the most important detail, even if you're not a sports fan. And maybe I'm a little too dyed in the wool with that kind of stuff. But I think the ability to go and have that activity there for you. If you go to Colgate, you're never going to know what you're missing until it's
But you're missing out on tailgating the crew team.
Well, Kent Brown.
That is something there, boy.
Kent Brown went to the U. He's a Pittsburgh guy behind the glass, and he goes to the U, so that's Miami. But a big event for you for your 4 years was going to see the Canes get it, to go play in that weird stadium, which that had to be an unsatisfying experience, too. You're a student. You have to go to the Orange Bowl to watch your team.
Yeah, it's like 35 miles away,
right.
Basically.
That's not
quite the Rose Bowl for UCLA, but very similar.
Yeah,
not having an on-campus stadium.
By the time I was really there and experiencing it all, the Orange Bowl was shut down, was gone, and we had to go all the way up to basically Fort Lauderdale to see a game. But I'm with you on with money, and I'm also with Eddie on this, is we were very close to the city of Miami. You had South Beach there. If you wanted to do a weekend cruise, you just go right down. You can be
cruise.
In the Bahamas.
You're 19.
You can be anywhere.
It's behavior.
Right there. It's right there for you. Why not?
I wish
you
I had
go catch some marlin. You want to get out in the water?
I wish I had more wanderlust like Money had apparently when he was 18. Because I think if I had it to do over again, as much as I do romanticize the Big Ten and the changing of the weather and the environment, this idyllic little college town, I do think that I don't know how you could beat Santa Barbara. You see Santa Barbara, you live at the sea.
The dorms are basically on. I mean, but our dorms We used to walk to the beach. You would walk straight out of our dorm, down the hill that Pepperdine is built on, cross PCH, and there was a trail that went right down to Coral Beach. And we used to do this thing called – but, see, I think that's the thing about every college, right? Like, what,
isn't that uptight, though? Isn't that the bad thing
about –
It's
very different now. I was kind of on the tail. I mean, look, I got thrown off campus. I was an idiot. I mean, I really was. I was really a dumbass kid, just a total –
You got thrown off.
Got thrown off campus. yes.
This is lending credence to my idea that you don't need to get the degree.
But getting thrown off, I mean,
I
wasn't invited to come back. After my sophomore year, I was never sent any housing forms to apply for on-campus housing. So I had to what do we find? We end up finding this dump of a house that basically should have been condemned, but we rented, six of us, on Pacific Coast Highway with a key to a private beach, Carbon Canyon, across the street. So
that's living.
But what I think what I'm getting at is, I think to your point, you know, the tailgate, we had the basketball team with Doug Christie that ended up with, Pepperdine was the dominant basketball squad in the WAC, or when I was there, not the WAC, the West Coast Conference, the WCC. So we kind of had that, it was a big deal when LMU was playing or Gonzaga came down or St. Mary's, like we had that sort of experience. But you don't have to stay there. Like I'm sure Kent at the U had neighborhood bars that had Thursday night quarter beer night.
That's what I think you miss, right?
But
that's
I think you still get it.
Oh yeah, of course. You still have Coconut Grove. You still
see
have
what I mean?
Sunset
Everybody's got
Place.
Those.
You have a whole bunch of. I mean, Miami Beach. There's bars everywhere. So yeah, it's right near where you live, even if you're not right on campus.
Like
it's
we had Carlos and Pepe's, 50 Cent Dos Equis on Tuesday night. We had Malibu Inn, Dollar Rolling Rocks on Wednesday, and Thursday we had the Malibu Adobe, Dollar Pints. So
I could play that game. We had 10 Cent Wing Night.
See.
At BW3's on Tuesdays, I believe, and then we had on Wednesday nights. It was it was Mickey's
Wide Mouth
Penny Beer. Penny Beer Night at the Bluebird. And the Bluebird actually did have some great bands roll through there while I was there. But the greater attraction early on was they had Mickey's beer on draft, and it was the grossest beer I've ever had, but you didn't care because it was a cent. You literally had to
and
throw –
they would give you Dixie cups?
Yeah, and you'd have to throw pennies, and you'd give them pennies. That's how old I am, Eddie Spaghetti. They actually would give you beer for a penny.
I had no deals. I just paid full price. Everything in Boston's way
See,
too expensive.
That's against that. That's a point against going.
That's
to
exactly.
Going to
right.
But we did have like BU bars. Like when Emma's up in Boston right now, I gave MVP all the BU list of like stuff to do. Like we had Tees Tuesday, we had Tavern in the Square on Thursday. But then it's like, oh well, let's go to Lansdowne and hang out by Fenway one night, or you can go into the city to the financial district. So you have the option. I think there's two sects of people. It's like there's the group that wants to be in like the bubble. Kind of like you, which is no problem. And then there's like,
thanks, I appreciate
and then there's like the three
there's
here.
Some of us that can navigate the big town, and there's some that can't. Go in your bubble for 4 years till you figure it out, young man.
You must not know Sinatra talking about doing it in the big city.
I almost went to so like my font.
Anybody
this,
could
but,
make it in Bloomington. It takes a special kind of fella to make it in Manhattan.
I chose against going to Penn State because of the campus thing, and I almost went to Miami. My final two schools were Miami and BU, and I ended up at BU because I needed like a city life, but have the campus. As
I
well.
Thought I'm telling you, I thought that's just my final point on this completely unnecessary conversation is that. I thought it had to be a city for me too, and then I saw Bloomington on a warm spring day, and I realized I was wrong, and I corrected that decision on the spot, and I've never regretted it. Go to a small town. I love those small towns like that.
You know, as I tell, as my daughter is navigating or was navigating her choices for college, I said, go somewhere where you want to live for 4 years. That is the most important thing. Bloomington is a glorious campus. It's, you know, and I have nephews. My nephew's going there right now. I've had friends, obviously a ton of friends that have gone there. It's a great place to go. Don't go because you like their football team. Don't go because, oh, this is the best place for my major.
I do think that I do
go
think
where you want to live for 4 years.
I think that's a great point. Because there are actually big sports fans listening to us who might be deciding to go to college based on that. I've met people who went to Notre Dame because they're huge Fighting Irish football fan. That's a bad decision.
South Bend, Indiana is a
that's
tough
a
deal.
Weirdo decision. Don't
a
be
great school. It's great academics, but it is.
Kent,
South Bend is tough.
Did you go to the U because of football?
No, but it was one of the reasons.
That's fine.
How big
that's
of a reason,
fine.
Though?
If it's a fun
like, I would thing. Imagine it's a look, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and I applied to Miami. And I, like, because the U freaking blew my dome whenever they would come on TV and you would watch those parties and those people, I was like, those are the best fans in the world. That's going to be a blast.
It was a big reason. Also, yeah. My brother was on the team at the time.
That'll help.
I went to games. I used to go down there all the time. So I was familiar with it. And I was one, I had to go to a place that had major, you know, Power Five football. I couldn't go to school. Like, I thought about maybe like BU or schools like that, but I said I need that football every Saturday in the fall to be able to
good
go
shot
to.
At Eddie right there. Good one.
Oh, I was making my list. Good one. What are your favorite activities, Money? Would you go so you could go to an October 20th Big Ten game, a ball game in like late June in Wrigley on a sunny day? You could go to see a show. This is not a useful conversation. I haven't drawn out the parameters yet.
I will just I know where you're going with it.
I'm trying to lay them all out.
As someone who has been very fortunate to work in sports and go to so many different types, I've been, you know, covered the NBA Finals when I worked with the Lakers. I've been to World Series games. If you want to do the checklist thing, guy trip, the number one thing I would tell you to do is go to an SEC game. Go to a different location every year. I've been to Georgia. I've been to Athens. I've been to Oxford. I've been to Tuscaloosa. They are awesome, awesome places to go see games.
I mean, shouldn't we do that? Let's all get our resources together and make sure we do one every year. I'd love to do. I hear you got
LSU. Death Valley is unreal. Yeah, Baton Rouge is crazy.
I hear that's a different experience.
The number one for me, and look, it all depends, right? Is Oxford.
People,
Mississippi
that's the one.
Is
people say that.
Because the girls at the school wear cotillion dresses, all the sorority girls, and all the guys, all the boys wear William Faulkner like outfits, the khakis with the blue blazers and the red tie, and they're all drinking and partying.
From
in the
a
lot.
Distance, I do not find that charming.
Oh, it is awesome when you're in the middle of it. It really is. There is just something about, hey, this is the tradition. They're still doing it.
I guess.
While, you know, some guy at the Ohio State, Penn State game is wearing a who's the boss, you know, duck holding two guns tank top, you know, because it's warm enough out before it gets cold. I
now
do like the pageant.
Now you're hitting close to home for spaghetti.
Big tank top guy.
Big tank top guy.
Yeah, we went up at Miami. We'd go up when they played Florida and Gainesville, Florida State and Tallahassee, and the environments are great because even though Florida State's not an SEC school, it might as well be in terms of the way that campus is. So I'm with Money. If you can go to one of those games
that's
in the South and see, you know, LSU would be on my short list. I'm sure that that's like one of the best places to go, but it's just a whole different ball game. As good as USC is and Ohio State, it's just not the same as if you're like in the South and you get to see one of those huge games and a big rivalry.
But the weather is a factor for me. Is that chill in the air is what you don't get at the SEC, at least until very late in the season. All right, listen, Spaghetti, go ahead. You're a great evaluator. You're always good at taking the pH of the podcast. How do you feel about this one? Too much grab ass? Too aimless today?
No, not to offend the National Football League, but there's not that much going on right now.
Should we work something in right now?
I think
our
strengths. This is the strength. This is like when the podcast at its best. So I think that's our calling card.
Well, you know what? Money's our guest, and he's going to leave fairly soon. What do you want to what do you want next here, Money?
Let Eddie pick it. Eddie's the producer, right? Producer should drive the show.
Do we have? I don't see it on the table of contents here, but do we have a trivia contest?
Oh, yes.
We do.
Yes, we do.
We could do that. Or, well, speaking of Kent Brown, the other thing is Kent Brown, you know, he likes to dabble in stand-up comedy.
I like the trivia when it's not a head-to-head. You know what I mean? I think there is something to be said about having four people involved instead of a tete-a-tete. I don't think that's nearly as
enjoyable.
All right.
That's a good point, yeah.
Trivia it is. Do it! No, Kent Brown's going to do a little stand-up for
this
me.
I prefer.
All right, let's do that. I'll allow you this, Money, but then we got to do trivia. I want to play trivia. All right, Kent Brown is a legitimate stand-up comedian. He counts among his colleagues. You have fancy friends. Who'd you watch? Who'd you go to the Rose Bowl with this year?
I went with my buddy Joe Bartnick, who's a Pittsburgh guy. Another guy, Jason Lawhead, who's from Ohio. Andrew Themelis is another guy from Boston. Bill Burr, also a Boston guy. That was our crew that we went
just
to the Rose Bowl
that in
with.
At the back end. At the back
yeah.
end. There.
Bill Burr.
Anchor. And, I'm going to anchor it right there.
There it is.
Yeah, he's known a little bit.
A little bit.
Know?
All right, so you're following in his footsteps, and Kent Brown deserves this. Is a
now is Kent doing open mic nights? Is he?
Yeah,
you are okay.
But some of the stuff I would typically do, you probably can't get away with here at the Shield. So I gotta change it up a little bit.
So it's you're gonna change this up right now?
It's like a Letterman type of set. You know, you gotta be a bit cleaner. Okay. So
what are you gonna do about what should we anticipate? 2 minutes? A minute?
Yeah, between 1 and 2 minutes, right, I would say.
All right, go ahead. Ready? Do you have any sound effects to support this spaghetti?
I'd prefer if you had a laugh track so we don't have to laugh.
Yes. I could applause and I can give a party horn. That's about the extent of the
if you have let's do a party horn after every punch.
Party horn, all right.
And I want to make Kent, I want you to wait for it. You know, I don't want you to just, you know, blow right through the punchlines to your next joke. I want you to kind of see if Sheck and I are going to give you a chuckle. That's important.
Fill the room.
That's
right. Are we going to try to suppress laughter to make it a tough experience for him?
Oh, no. I'm going to be a legitimate audience. I'm open. I'm ready. I'm ready to laugh if you're ready to entertain me.
Try to be the audience.
I'm going to be playing Make Me Laugh. I'm going to resist laughter. Just because I think it's better for you. Listen, tough love. That's what you need. Kent Brown doesn't.
Well, that's why I'm telling him. If you say something funny, I'm going to laugh. I'm not.
We've heard his mother on voicemail. She calls him on occasion. That's love. He doesn't need that from me. He needs tough love.
Yeah, and she makes you guys laugh, so that might be a hard follow-up.
All right.
It is.
All right, go ahead. Here we go. Hey, all right. I hope everybody's having a good time tonight. Hey, real funny guy coming up here next year. It's all the way from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by way of Miami, Florida. Hey, here he is. It's Kent Brown, everybody.
You suck!
Okay, so I'm single, and L.A. is kind of a weird city to try to date because all the girls out here, basically, none of them have the same profession that they claim that they have. So, for instance, I went out the other night with a girl who said she's an actress and a model. But what that really means, if you're not from L.A., that means you're a hostess or a server at a restaurant. You're not actually doing any acting. So anyways, I asked her, I said to her, what are you in? What have you done? And she said, well, I've been in a couple commercials. I try to audition all the time. It's not going all that well. But I was in a web series you might have seen. Yeah, out of 1,000 web series last year, I saw the one web series that she was actually in. So I thought it was going well, but it wasn't. I asked her afterwards, I said, hey, let's go grab some drinks. Maybe we can go back to my place in Uber. And I got shot down worse than almost anybody in history can be shot down. She said to me, no, I need to go home tonight because I need to update the apps on my phone. Think about how bad that is. When she actually says, I need to update the apps on my phone, I thought, you know what? She would be better off actually telling me, look, to be honest, I have a disease. If I touch you tonight, it's going to get really bad for you. You got to go to the doctors. Or maybe she even says, look, the last date I was on, it didn't go well. I ended up killing the guy, threw him in my car. I need to bury the body. At least in that case, I could justify her actually acting like there's something that she has to be doing. So I looked at her and I basically said, look, you should maybe try an improv class or two because I don't think the acting's going very well. Thank you. That
sounds okay. What, you buzzed about that one?
The party horn sound effect was better.
I like that, Kent Brown. That was good. That was good reality you brought, right? That's a true story.
Yeah, it's based in reality. There's always, you gotta punch it up a little bit.
A bit, bit of embellishment.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Very nice. Do we continue this segment, Matt Money?
I'm going to button it with an Eddie Spaghetti tweet, if I may.
This is your own brand of comedy.
Just because that's what I was scrolling through as Kent was doing his stand-up there while I was listening intently.
That's what a lot of audience members do. They look at their phones and they ignore it anyways.
This has to be the worst candy ever. He takes a photo of crows, licorice-flavored gumdrops. This is the worst candy of all time.
What are crows?
Oh, yeah.
Licorice is, in fact, the worst candy.
Yeah, I was in Manhattan Beach in that famous ice cream shop on the corner right in the downtown area. And,
I know what you mean.
It smells great there. You can get any kind of treat in the world, like chocolates, candies, ice cream, obviously. And then the shelf has, these black little like gummy crows.
Ugh.
Like I don't.
The Lakers. Worst candy ever.
You know what? You might be onto something with that one.
Last week, the best sub sandwich in all of LA, and I would know because I'm a New Yorker. I know about candy because I'm a New Yorker, and this crows is the worst ever.
Hey, by the way, Kent Brown, you're exactly right about that. Why? I don't understand why people just can't. If you're going to blow somebody off, just to the other side of that, the real side of that is, why can they not just tell you, lie and say, oh, I'm spoken for? That's it. Then everybody goes home and doesn't have any ego issues. Nobody has to feel sad about themselves. Oh, yeah, I don't think my boyfriend, I don't think my girlfriend, I don't think, well, you know.
I'm on the opposite side of that.
I like that.
I like, hey, I'm not into you. Not feeling it.
You like that?
Yeah.
You're
hey, you know what? I'm not feeling you.
Because you have a weird self-esteem about you.
Oh, I really don't. No, I am affected.
I don't think, no, I don't think
I am affected by rejection. Oh, I am affected by rejection. I definitely am.
Huh.
I just prefer not to play the game and wonder, like, well, she said she's got a boyfriend, but, you know, I mean, why would she be out with me if, you know, that was, I mean, obviously there's something not right there. Maybe I'll follow up and see if, you know what I mean? And then it just sets you up for something even worse.
Yeah,
I just as soon say,
yeah,
hey.
Just get direct. I mean, well, that's also you being from the South Side of Chicago. It's a much more direct place than if you're out here trying to be in L.A. and be an actress. Let's be real.
All right.
I like L.A. I love L.A. It's why I've lived here for 27 years. And I, as much as I appreciate my time on the South Side, I just want to make this statement because so many folks, we have a New Yorker, two Pittsburgh folks, and a South Side Chicagoan sitting in this room, and I don't want to play the game of, hey, I miss Pittsburgh. I miss New York. I do not miss the South Side of Chicago. I want to make that statement right now. I love this city. It's why I have zero intention of ever leaving it.
Listen, I love Pittsburgh, PA. I love the people. I love most everything about it. I love L.A. as well, and obviously I'm happy here. I always say about it, and I'll say it again, I think the national perception of Los Angeles is the reality of Vegas. I think that people say, everybody has plastic surgery and everybody.
That's just not the case.
Yeah, what Phil Jackson called a plastic city. You know, L.A. has some soul. L.A.'s been here for a minute.
Did
you know?
By the way, sorry to.
I did see the Phil Jackson.
Wasn't it the best thing ever? Just if any of you missed it on Twitter, circulating, someone checked into some fancy boutique cabin estate hotel kind of layout, right? And in one of the books in the room where he was staying was a note from Phil Jackson, personalized stationery that had the Lakers logo on the top, said Phil Jackson, and on the bottom all the titles, and it had 2000, 2001, but did not have 2002, so it was right between their second and third title of the three-peat. And the note said, if your bed is cold tonight, I'd love it if you'd share my bed. Something along those lines, like slipped it under the door or something to somebody perhaps he took a fancy to. That it really is one of, just imagine for what, 17 years that note has been hiding in that book.
Coach, I don't know how to take this. Sincerely, Robert Horry. what do you think about, all right, well, let's talk about this. Oh, I said that we would talk about this.
Football
I feel
topic.
Lamar Jackson is, he reminds me very much of Vince Young in that he slings it. He's got that 6'6", well, he's not as big as Vince.
He's probably like 6'2", 6'3".
Right.
But he's definitely taller than, you know, say, he's the height of a quarterback you'd want your quarterback to be.
But he does, well, not according to Bill Poley.
Well.
But he slings it in the same way that Vince Young does from shoulder level instead of you know, high pointing the ball. The release is right next to his shoulder.
He's got that flick.
Right.
That Michael Bishop, that Vince
Doesn't
Young.
Look right.
To
Little
some
Phil
degree,
Rivers.
Phillip Rivers
right.
flick. The thing is, he throws a nice ball. I mean, he throws a nice deep ball. Like it's, you know what it's almost like? It's almost like that that Michael Vick deep ball where it looks like there is zero effort put into it, and next thing you know, the ball is just sailing down the field 50 yards. I think some of that has to do with the, you know, the narrow base. I guess probably the biggest concern about Lamar Jackson, and you hear, you know, guys like Bucky and DJ say this a lot, is just kind of those narrow shoulders. And you get a little worried about not being broad enough if you're going to run around and take some hits, much like RG3, you know, was more of that track athlete, had that level of athleticism. And when you get out there and you're running around and guys like freaking Tremaine Edmonds are coming into the league at 6'4", 240 pounds, running 4.440s, scares you a little bit. I mean, look, I watched him outplay Jimbo Fisher, Florida State championship-level teams, Deshaun Watson at Clemson. It's crazy to think that you would immediately – he's not Terrell Pryor. You know, I called, I think, two Terrell Pryor games, and I can't tell you how many times I watched receivers have to adjust for just poorly thrown balls throughout the course of that game. That's not Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's a guy that, yeah, the completion percentage, I think it's just below 60. It's not – he's got a ton of drops. So I don't get the whole Lamar Jackson needs to be a wide receiver. I think that's crazy talk.
I'm with you about that. And we did talk with Reggie Wayne, among many other things, like I mentioned, that weird high-end, even among professional athletes, that high-end rare athleticism that Mike Vick has and Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson, that some of them have the spatial sense to get down and others don't. And that determines your longevity in the league. If you're one of
avoiding
those
direct hits,
right? You've never seen Russell Wilson get blown up. You've never seen Colin Kaepernick blown up. But if you watch
Johnny Manziel was really good at that at Texas A&M.
RG3 every time, every game you watch. Yeah. Ooh, he's this is not going to last very long. Same thing with Mike Vick. You wonder what would have happened there. Yeah, give me your win play show in the quarterbacks here. We're going to bury these. We're going to get everybody, all the experts. Opinions, and we'll bury them, and then we'll dig them up in 5 years. Win, play, show, who will be the best quarterback money out of this draft class?
Win Darnold.
Darnold is Matt Money Smith, right? Get these down here. I think I'm with you on that.
Place Rosen.
Ooh, okay, chalk so far.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go chalk. Show I'm going to go Josh Allen.
I am with you on that one.
Yeah, over Baker Mayfield.
The Baker Mayfield
Lamar.
One.
I am tempted about Lamar. There's something about Lamar, though, that I can't – I'm still kind of wondering. I feel like he's going to end up sliding maybe into that second round and be like one of the first couple picks of the second round, and it's going to be the – we knew it. You know, for the Lamar Jackson doesn't dream, but I think that's what I'm most comfortable doing. I think it's Darnold, Rosen, Allen.
Well, I mean the –
And that would be chalk. Because, you know, Mayfield's got the character concerns. He's got the, okay, this guy was
I
a walk-on.
Like
he's
way
you know,
up there. But
I think the size, the fact that he's under 6'1", you know, I Mayfield's a tough one. I think it's between – see, now I'm already second.
He's another guy.
Stick with it. It's good.
I'm with you. I like Josh Allen quite a bit. And where do you think about the Oklahoma State kid, though, Mason Rudolph?
Don't get it.
No?
No, I just don't get it. I think it's just, you know – chuck and watch. You know, it's throwing. I mean, he's a big dude. He's got a head the size of a bowling ball. You know, he's massive hands, and it just, I don't know. It's terrible to say, but I just feel like Mason Rudolph's like, hike ball, throw ball, ball. That's just kind of my.
That is mean.
That is very mean. Yeah. I mean, he's just one of those giant dudes that can throw the ball forever, and he's got these super talented receivers that run underneath it. Hence his, you know, whatever, 5,000 yards passing and 40 touchdowns of 30 yards plus or whatever. That doesn't seem like something that works in the NFL.
With Lamar Jackson or anyone else you talk about, I remind you, is Cam Newton good? Is Ben Roethlisberger good? What's their cheat? What's their combined issue? Accuracy. That's the thing people knock him for. It's not the end of the world. Yes, you would like a precise passer. It is not the only thing that matters. It does not trump anything. It does not trump everything else. There are other ways to skin the cat, and those two high-end QBs prove it.
The thing that's hard for me about that, too, by the way, just on the Lamar Jackson, is, you know, I don't know how to read a defense. I don't know how to tell from watching tape if this guy is accurately going through his progressions, what the play call was. That's what, you know, so if it's people that are quarterback coaches or offensive coordinators, fine. But I just, you know, forgive me if someone like Mel Kiper is telling me he's got concerns about Lamar Jackson being able to understand an NFL playbook. I'm like, that doesn't work for me. You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. The Terrell Pryor thing I totally understand because, like I said, watching those games, he was wildly inaccurate. And, I mean, just what should have been super easy, quick throws were regularly too low, behind receivers, just it wasn't there. That I don't feel like is Lamar Jackson at all.
I mean, you've said it all. And remember, the scouts, when they condescend to you on social media or otherwise, you don't get it. You're not, you know, this is my trade. These are the people who more or less missed on Alvin Kamara last year, Dak Prescott 2 years ago. The list is plentiful. That you do not have to take their word as some fact and feel ashamed that you disagree with these guys. So the eyes treat you well. And by the way, a lot of people who are out there telling you, oh, this guy's a can't-miss guy and this guy's going to bust in the NFL, never watch college football. I mean, that to me is the number one. As Bucky Brooks will tell you, the number one gauge is watching them play football, not what happens at the combine. Is that enough show, Spaghetti? Are we done now or what?
We're at about 55 minutes.
Oh, that's what?
Hit the noon mark.
55? I would have guessed we were at about 30, 35. Oh, geez. Okay, let's get out of here then already.
I mean, look at this rundown that Eddie put together.
I'll save it. We got a couple good ones.
Four, five.
Honey, you say you know what? One of my favorite things about you is the no jive adherence. No jive. Give it a letter grade today.
I'm going to give it a solid B.
A B.
I was going to go B+.
B+.
Yeah, I think it was good.
I just felt like it was a lot of grab ass.
That's why it's good. We might have extended too long on some topics.
I think I ruined the college conversation. I got a little too, my experience, and this is what I remember.
Kent Brown texted me exactly that. He's like, hey, money, you know, it's not a monologue. You know, that's what he...
We should, though, tease your topic for the future to get everyone involved is the best Spotify to add to your Spotify playlist, and the vote is who has the best one. That's a good future topic.
The next time money is booked.
What is this?
Well, you are among your many passions is music. I need you to evaluate who has the best Spotify playlist.
Oh, we craft.
So we're all going to,
you'll just review my, in fact, I'm not even going to tell you. Yeah, that's the better way to do a blind taste test.
Okay.
We'll give him, you'll have to print them all out.
Don't put anybody's name on it.
And then he will evaluate.
I will judge your playlist.
The best taste in music.
I like this idea.
And I do like all styles and types of music. I like to have fun. I like to dance. I like to be with my friends. So I feel that qualifies me to be.
You ever listen to Supergrass? I was listening to some Supergrass on my way in today.
I have no idea who that is.
My very good friend and former colleague Greg actually signed Supergrass.
Is that true?
Yeah, that is that's a true story.
Where are they from?
England. It's a UK band.
So I don't know about that. I'm just about the music, Spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know? All right. That's more than enough, I think. Thank you, Kent
Super
Brown.
Chunk,
good stuff.
By the way. Super Chunk, another great band with the name Super in it. Mac from Super Chunk.
And then you have, there's one more. The forefather of that was Super Tramp.
Super Tramp I like as well.
Super Tramp has some good songs.
A lot of the kids know Super Tramp now because for whatever reason, Super Tramp, a heavily sampled band by pop acts. Really? Yes. Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. I mean, people don't know that's Super Tramp. They just, whatever the, I don't know what the pop artist is who decided to snatch that one up.
We have to, I wonder if we should figure out, Spaghetti, we have to, maybe that is built into the show going forward, is your table of contents we will adhere to. There's Mark Sessler back there.
The Sess dog.
I see Sessler back there. All right. Well, we don't.
I had something for you too today, by the way. That
really?
I set
well,
up
why
for
didn't
next...
you bring it up? We could have done it.
I'll set it up. I don't know if you saw. Just quickly before we bid ye farewell. I don't know if you saw the story about Rick and Morty getting McDonald's to put the Szechuan sauce back into McDonald's.
No,
that was like a big thing. They took. I don't know. In the late '90s, that was like a promotion for Mulan. They put Szechuan sauce as a chicken nugget dipping sauce, and they're doing like 20 or 30 million packets of it. They're going to put it back in. So best. Off the popular trail condiment that you remember, a fast food joint throwing out there.
You hit me with something heavy.
I know, that's right why I said we can bank it. We can bank that for a future.
So what your question is, we're not talking about a ketchup.
No ketchup, mustard. I think what we're
well, I do have to say a hot yellow mustard. I don't the brand non-specific.
No, I think you know what? I'm more into like this is McDonald's Szechuan. I'm more into like Arby's, Horsey, Chick-fil-A.
I got you.
That's kind of where I'm going.
You know what? This is too important a subject.
Yeah, the Taco Bell, the Del Taco, Del Scorcho, things
like
that.
I like this topic a lot. We should spend some time.
I think it's for another day.
I think that's a half hour easily.
Great news. Spaghetti signed off on it. It makes
that'll,
his table.
That'll go to
as a New Yorker.
I'll add it to my long rundown for Tuesday.
There's a place on 43rd and 8th that you got to try. You can only get this sauce there. It's the only place. No one knows about it.
As a New Yorker, the best Szechuan is on 43rd and 3rd.
All right, that's enough. You've embarrassed yourself once again, Spaghetti.
I have.
Kent Brown, terrific. Spaghetti.
Way to put yourself out there, Kent.
Matt Money Smith, excellent as always. Again, make sure you track down the show, Petros and Money, either in Los Angeles on AM 570 or on iHeartRadio. And, of course, Game Theory and Money with Cindy Freeland. Track that one down, too.
I'm headed out to the Combine, by the way, so I won't be around next week.
Oh, right. Have a great time at the Combine.
Yep.
Tilt the elbow.
Will you be coming?
Nah. I love that, though, too. By the way, you should go see. We're not going to get this in time, but Shula's, that's the place to be, right? That's where all
where Hugh Jackson goes to tell tales of his 1-31 start to his Browns coaching career to the wee hours of the morning.
I wish we had.
That's right, Sessler. How dare you flip me off from the back there, Sessler?
I would like Mark Sessler's opinion, as a matter of fact. Joe Thomas and I park our cars in the same garage. You're going to have to play that again, Spaghetti, I can tell you. I met with the Tomahawk fellas, Hawkins and Thomas, and I encourage you. That's two podcasts ago. Go dig that one up. Another dandy. We talked about. He and I have the exact same opinion. If you're the Browns, you throw the bank at Kirk Cousins. You give it. He doesn't want to go there. They're not built to win, aren't they? Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman.
Another $70 million in money to spend after you sign Kirk Cousins.
That's right. Now you have Myles Garrett. Then you add
Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb.
You can go Chubb, right? I think you go Chubb.
I would go Barkley and Fitzpatrick. I would go Minka for the back end of that defense. You already got some pressure with Miles.
Now I go both. I go Fitzpatrick.
You want to do the Charger thing? I would Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Yeah.
And this is a running back rich draft. So you do that.
Get Geiser Jones in a second. I got you.
That's it. How about that?
I like it.
Joe Thomas loves it. What do you think? Sessler gives it a thumbs up.
What do you think, Hugh? It's 1:30 a.m. in Shula's. I coached those guys as hard as I could. I put in a great game plan, and they're just so young. It was very hard for them to execute, but I felt like my game plan was perfect.
Perfect.
Every week I had it set up perfectly.
Out of context or not, that is the best quote. No one else could have done this job. That is the greatest.
Yes.
No one else could have gotten them to
win. Oh, and he believes that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
Spaghetti, I wish we could get you out to the Combine to do your interviews with people.
Yeah.
Sideline interviews.
I'm the guy.
At 1 a.m. Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
I'm the guy that always holds down the fort here. So
what's the name of Jerry Jones' bus? What does he call it? The Dallas Lady or whatever the heck the name it. Just right. Just stand outside that bus with a microphone like it's the damn red carpet. One coach after another.
Football fan,
coming off that bus. That's what I want.
Hey, Indy fans, you like your pro football. Big week coming up, whether you know it or not.
The best.
Set up shop at Steak and Shake. That's the other late night venue to hit up.
Elmo's. Guys. Harry and Izzy's.
Don't shake your head, Kent Brown. That Steak and Shake is for real. You're wrong. Don't shake your head at me. Shake your head. Shake it outside these walls. Spaghetti, get Kent Brown out of here.
That's right.
Money and I are out of here as well. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, make sure you go back and check out all the good stuff, especially the Reggie Wayne interview and some of those segments are really interesting stuff. All right, for everybody here, including MVP, who's off in Boston, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime,
what's it been?
Been a thin slice of heaven.
Yeah.